Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dennis Miller. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the CEO of Butcher Box, Mike Salguero. And now, so fresh from Portland, he still smells like organic weed and hipster beard funk. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No shows to get on Monday. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. And thank you, Portland, for coming out. That's why we chose to do our live shows in Portland, because that's where our great audience is. I want to thank UFC Fight Pass for this half of the show. You can go to UFCTV/Carolla. MedMen, MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. And the Black Tux. Go to theblackducks.com. Good to see you, Gina Grad.
Good to see you. Congrats.
And thank you. And Bald Brian.
What's wrong with you?
We will play Will Brian, Other Brian, Eat It. We'll do that in a second. I gave my children your generous gift. And by when I say generous, I don't mean generous like a bunch
Mama's
of money.
Mama's a little tight right now.
I mean generous like, hey, thanks for thinking of my kids.
Sure.
I gave them your two. I called them away from their Call of Duty or whatever various games where they hunt down other human beings. Where you basically form pods and hunt down other human beings game. And I brought them over, and they opened it up, and Sonny put his mask on.
Cool.
I think Lynette took a picture of that or something at some point. We'll find that. You don't have to go nuts. Max Zapata and their gift certificate card, which is nice. It's a gift for me because it was at Starbucks.
That's exactly right. It was
and,
a gift for you.
I'm the one who asked
that's
to...
That's a lot of brownies and donuts.
Yes,
that's
I have
exactly
to foot
the
bill
the
for that. So very thoughtful of you. I was shaking it as I was handing it to them. They're a little bit robust. And I was wondering, the envelopes were, I was hoping against hope. And you guys tell me, and I wrote it down, worst gift or worst person to give gift. Now, Brian,
okay,
you can identify now, and you're going to get closer and closer to this.
All right.
Person that gets you the gift card that's filled with glitter.
Oh, yeah.
So that when you open it up, it just
explodes.
Spills out all over the place, and you never really get it up. It's got like a static charge.
Yep.
It becomes weaponized. Yeah. It spills all over the floor, especially if you hand it to your kid. Your kid eats three of them. Some's in the hair. The other gets in the carpet. And 7 months later, you'll find pieces of glitter around the house.
Yes. I would never do that.
That person that puts the glitter.
My very sweet godmother did that for many years. Many years, my 20s, when she would send me a card on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough thing for a bachelor to have just around the apartment scattered glitter. You know what I mean? Every once in a while, I'm like, why is there glitter? It's a long story.
You'll never get it all up. There's no vacuum made that can reclaim it.
Nope.
Okay. That person, or I brought a bunch of silly string to liven up the party person where it just gets sprayed.
Yeah.
First off, it's toxic.
Yep.
It's toxic. It's made in China. It's toxic.
Yep.
Secondly, people really don't know how to operate it. They don't stand 4 feet away and spray people. They hold
right
it
up.
So
yep.
They detach their retinas with it. They smash it in their face. Thirdly, once it dries, it is spot welded. I had a piece of that stuff like on my entry hall ceiling that was there for 7 months. Like at some point, I had to get my fingernail and the knife they used to take over the flights on 9/11 to get the shit off the ceiling. Like, don't bring the silly string to the party. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Yeah, if it dries on the wrong kind of, if it's even on, it's just on the wrong kind of surface, just for at all, like wallpaper and stuff,
fabric.
It's there as part of it forever.
Yeah,
all right.
There will be remnants.
We're going to do a win place or show here.
All right,
a podium, a gold, a silver, and a bronze of who should be thrown in a wood chipper. Glitter in the envelope. Silly string. By the way, no one told you to bring silly string. You just thought it'd be fun. And also,
when it starts
to get sprayed outside, like out on the deck or something, like it is welded onto that deck for the rest of your life. And it's toxic, and it's flammable, and it's made in China, and it's covered with SARS.
It's a permanent pink snail.
Last one.
the gift set. I've told you guys about this, Brian. You're this close to getting these for Tessa. It's a 186-piece tie-dye set. It's got 81 different color dyes, 5,000 miniature rubber bands, all the pictures of all the happy kids wearing the cool Grateful Dead things, and it's a huge mess. You'll never be able to work it out. It starts with, get a cauldron and boil water. Once it's come to a to a full boil, start adding color. It is a goddamn mess. Your product's going to come out like shit. You could go anywhere and buy a t-shirt and it'd be better. Your kid's going nuts. They want to open it up. Once they open it up, the shit just scatters everywhere.
Yeah.
You never really get around to it. Get the kid a goddamn slinky or utility ball or a throw pillow with their initials in it, or one that says on one side, not tonight, or whatever it is.
Something useful.
Something
practical.
Not the 186-piece tie-dye set that involves you boiling water. Win, place, or show as a parent or as a human.
Best to worst. My first instinct is the worst is the tie-dye set because they all have the initial, crap. That one comes with expectations. Like, you will be doing this. This is a project that will torture you for hours, if not days, down the road. Whereas, and we're splitting hairs here. These are all bad, but at least you can vacuum, I suppose, extra hard with the glitter and the other one.
Okay.
At least the person is like, hey, I'm going to make this party much more fun.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
All right, so what's our in-play show?
Okay, worst is the tie-dye. Best is the glitter, and the second
and
worst.
And when I say tie-dye, I mean any gift with more
1,400
than 1,200 pieces. Yes.
We're making t-shirt swirls or whatever it is. Yeah. And then the middle is the second worst is the silly string, because that can leave some permanent damage on something valuable.
So you got tie-dye.
Best case scenario is glitter. Or you want to go reverse?
Well, we're going reverse.
Worst of the worst. Worst is the tie-dye set. Because
their
expectations.
Number two.
And then number two is the spray, because that could leave some permanent damage on something you will like.
Mm-hmm.
And the glitter is just super annoying.
Yep. Hold the phone. You are right, Brian. Go ahead.
I absolutely agree for one slightly different reason. With the tie-dye set, somebody hands it to you, the parent or the kid. The kid hands it to you. Now, all of a sudden, you are in charge of figuring out how to do this thing that nobody asked for, and that's going to leave a mess and it's going to damage all your property.
You are named the captain of this terrible ship.
Exactly. Now you have to learn how to do it. Teach the kids how to ruin your house.
There's one caveat.
Yeah. Okay.
If you have very lazy, despondent kids like I have, there's a good shot.
There's a tacit agreement.
You can take the tie-dye kit, slide it up to the upper shelf, put a couple of sweaters on it that they don't want to wear, and it'll never come up again.
You have the same unspoken thing with your kids that Bill and Hillary have, where it's like, listen, we know what's going on here. We're not going to bring it up. Let's just skate by for the next few decades.
So there's a chance you'll never pop the cellophane hymen on it.
Risky.
In which case, it does go to number one in the charts, because you'll never open it up.
And it could be regifted, whereas the other two, they're done. They're underspent.
Right, but then that makes you a horrible
person.
Mike Salguero. Let me say this right. Mike Salguero?
Yes, sir.
Good to see you, man, or good to speak to you. Where are you calling from?
Boston.
This guy's changed my life. He's the CEO of Butcher Box. I have gone ballistic on the pork and the beef and the steaks and the chicken. I've done them all. Do yourself a favor, people. Get into stir fry.
Don't sleep on stir fry.
Chuck, cut up that cube up that chicken early in the day. Start the marinade early. Leave it alone, and then come 6-7 o'clock when the street lights come on. Get into the wok, and it is some it's some good stuff. Mike, we're gonna play a little game we like to play. We're not gonna fire it up just yet. We'll talk to you for a second, but we can get ready to bring Brian in here. Brian's a guy I work with making the documentaries at the other shop, and he doesn't eat anything, although he will screw you up with what he eats. So we'll get into that for a second. First, we'll talk about you. How'd you get started?
My wife was pregnant, was trying to eat healthier meat, and I went about trying to find it, and then ended up buying trash bags full of meat off of farmers and parking lots, and then decided there must be a better way to do this, and lo and behold, I started a company to solve that problem.
What is the difference it's something I'm late to the game for too. I've heard a lot about it, but I never really thought much about it. And I'm going to complain for a second. We complain about so much stuff, like filtered water versus tap water versus, you know, third hand smoke versus you got to wash that fruit with fruit wash. I tune everything out, and I've tuned out a lot of grass fed beef versus the grain stuff and the corn fed. But when I talk to like my friends, like Adam Perry Lang, the king of all this stuff, he's like, oh, no, grass fed, different, better. Tell us why.
Totally. Yeah, so basically every cow starts off the same way. So the first 6 months, it's cow with its mother. Delicious. The next year, it's cow just eating grass. And then 98% of the beef consumed in this country goes to a feedlot. So basically it spends 6 to 9 months being fed a diet of corn and antibiotics. And basically the idea is to make it as fat as possible as quickly as possible.
Did you say 98%?
So, yeah, 98%.
Now,
So I
would imagine, because of guys like you and in general awareness, that number's going to trickle down a little bit each year, yes?
Yeah, so grass-fed, which is 2%, is growing at about 100% year over year. So fortunately, the tides are changing. More people are paying attention. More people know the story that you can eat meat from a cow that just spent its whole life on grass, which is how the cow was created, or was created for, rather than this diet of corn and being stuck in a feedlot.
I think I have heard little bits and pieces of chains talking about grass-fed, but what are the chains? Now, we don't think McDonald's is doing grass-fed, but are there some chains, more boutique burger places or even others, that can advertise the grass-fed? Almost like the organic thing.
Are they
thing.
Embracing the movement?
Yeah, the organic thing wasn't a big deal. It was all hippy-dippy stuff, Billy Jack and everything else. And now it's getting a little mainstream because they want money. They figured out, oh, we want to offer it.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you know of? And Chris, you may want to look up who... Is any mainstream? I don't think it's going to be Burger King, but like
a Whataburger,
A Five Guys or something that offers a grass-fed offering. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, to be honest, I don't know of any. I do know that a lot of chains are moving to all natural, which is a great first step. All natural means no antibiotics, no hormones, and that's a great kind of first step because these animals are fed a diet of a ton of antibiotics and hormones to put on a ton of weight. Not good for the animal, not good for the human who's eating it. So I know there's a number of, I think Five Guys and Whataburger and a few others have gone all natural. But as far as I know, there isn't a large chain doing anything specifically grass-fed.
It's funny.
You know, Shake Shack might. Actually.
Well, we'll let our own Chris Maxpana look that up.
Carl's Jr. had one for sure. I don't know if it's still around, but in 2014 they made a lot of news by having a grass-fed burger. Don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, and Chipotle says, quote, naturally raised, antibiotic-free.
Yep.
So that's somewhere in the middle. It's weird. Everyone does the math with the fish, like the mercury and the fish and the mercury and the seafood. We always do like a seafood. And I think it's just because they're so much smaller. Because a cow's so big, I feel like, oh, well, we've spread the mercury poisoning out over 1,200
pounds. It's a resilient
beast. This thing is a pound and a half. Of course, it's going to poison us. Just so you know, so you can start sort of calibrating your brain, Mike, for when Brian comes in here. Brian loves onions, corn dogs, pizza. Hates grilled cheese sandwiches, mashed potatoes. I'm envious.
I don't know where to go with this.
I'm envious. I wish I hated mashed potatoes and tomatoes. But, like, who would have thunk? He loves onions.
We could really ramp up this game and bring Tessa's here. We just bring her in, see if she eats the stuff that Brian won't eat.
Who hates corn dogs? Who loves corn dogs and pizza and hates grilled cheese sandwich?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I didn't know you could hate a grilled. I felt like a grilled cheese sandwich is the culinary equivalent of a cloud. Mm-hmm. Where someone goes, oh, I hate clouds. It's like, how can you hate a cloud? It's just a cloud.
I'm sure he loves bread and he loves cheese. He just doesn't like them together.
Sure.
Have you heard of Elevation Burger?
No.
I haven't either, but that's under this fast food list. It says it's 100% organic, grass-fed, free range. I've never heard of Elevation Burger.
I guess that's our whole point.
That's a good point. Yeah. You haven't heard of it.
Haven't heard of it. So the other thing I like, which I've had to explain to people about, but now that you're here, I'd like you to do it, the Heritage Pork, which is pork got really white, so, really dry, and really crappy. And all I know is I loved eating people's pork chops. Not my own. My family didn't cook. But Chris Bohm's mom made pork chops on like Thursday nights. And I love them. And I love them because they were so succulent and they had the fat on them and they were savory and I loved them. And then at some point in the 90s, I was like, I don't like pork anymore. It's all dry and weird. And then you coached me up. So go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, if you remember during the 90s, there was the pork, the other white meat was the big campaign. And it was all about how pork was as good as chicken. At that point, nobody wanted to eat fat, so it was all about lean. So what they did with pork is they bred as much fat as possible off of the animal. So created these new hybrid breeds that were really lean, and that did two things. One, it decreased the fat content, and two, it enabled pork to put on weight faster, so they were gaining weight faster. And that worked really well, except for all the people who didn't like eating dry pork chops that you had to put applesauce all over. Mm-hmm. So what we say is, it's a pork chop. Oh. Our pork chops are like you've never tasted before, unless you eat out at a restaurant or something where there's lots of fat, there's good marbling, they're delicious, and it's the way that pork used to be. So heritage breed means that it's an old world breed, kind of a before things got out of control and they were outbred into, or they're bred into different, into different breeds, different genetics.
I'm just now putting two and two together. I came of age in the 90s, early 90s and on, and I hated pork chops because they were, I'm just now realizing, oh yeah, it was the generation where it was tough, chewy, not savory pork chops. And I've been avoiding them my whole life because I didn't want to smother them with applesauce. It just tasted like weird, chewy applesauce meat. But I want to get back in. I want to get back into the heritage pork because I imagine I would probably love it.
It
is that part of the eating challenge? A weird, chewy applesauce.
Well, we'll bring Brian in now, and we'll ask him a few questions. I think we have an intro for Brian. Hang tight, Mike.
Because he's picky, his lunch is plain Cheerios. Eats pizza without cheese. Brian's pissed off at most food. He must have a mental disease.
Will Brian eat it?
By the way, in the just sort of how yesteryear we talk about how things used to be and how things are now and how we were scared of all our friends' dads and stuff like that.
Right.
My kid's son had the sleepover, like slumber party in the living room. Side note, which is when I was a kid, if you moved a piece of furniture, everyone freaked out.
Yep.
Like if you went like,
that's out of the question.
Let's move. Can we just go ahead and move this end table? So, where are you putting it? No. It's like they move stuff all over the goddamn place. I walked out of my bedroom and into like the living room at 8:45 this morning. And my son's friend, Billy, as I walked in, went, hey, man. And like put his hand up like, howdy do.
Hey, bro.
And I was like, hey, man.
We're shaking.
And it's like, would you ever do that? Be like, Oh my God, no. Mr. Vendick's coming. He's got his slippers on.
I'd pull back a stump if I raised my hand like that.
Right.
Shoot my hand off.
Just yelled, hey, man, as I was walking down the hall.
You got to come down in your underwear once. Just, set the tone.
Yeah. Well, I let a nice fart go as
there
I was walking back into the office, which caught Sonny's ear and possibly a nostril. All right. Brian is here. Hi, Brian.
Hey, everybody.
How's Uppity doing?
Uppity's doing pretty well. We're getting a good amount of pre-orders. Yeah, and we're just getting it ready for the DVD.
Yep.
And
should be shipping it. Mike, that's our documentary about Willie T. Ribbs, first black driver. When do we think we're shipping those out?
Right now, we are projecting late July.
Okay.
Yeah, right around the corner.
So please get the pre-order because it just helps at Chassis. And they're coming in. They're trickling in.
Yeah.
Okay, good. And what do you do all day over there?
Well, in the last, like, month, I've just shipped on to being in charge of all the production that's happening. So right now I've been producing your stand-up show this weekend. In fact, I'm getting
wasn't it great?
Right now.
We're taping this a couple days ahead of time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For the audience.
Went over really well.
All right.
It went swimmingly.
Mm-hmm. And
exceeded expectations.
And overseeing all the docs.
Mm-hmm.
How's the K-Rock doc coming? I'm very excited about that one.
Well, we are we're pitching it right now to places.
Excellent.
So once that gets greenlit, then we're just going to fire on all cylinders.
We got Jimmy out there shepherd it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But and then I'm also shooting something with Jimmy coming up this week on Thursday, too, a stand-up show. That has an interesting format. We'll get into that later. We have to focus on the game. All right, are we ready, Mike? Are you calling from Boston?
Yes, sir.
All right,
ready.
You poised? Here we go. First item.
Can't hear you.
We can't hear you, Max Pana. I know Dawson's not here right now.
And I'm running back and forth here. All right, here we go. First item. Will Brian eat bacon and scrambled eggs?
Oh, who doesn't want bacon
right
and eggs?
Right down the middle.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Everybody loves bacon and eggs.
Butcher Box, you guys are giving away some bacon, right?
We are. Bacon for life. Happening right now.
I am
talking about good here.
I am intrigued by how does one... Now, listen. When I was young, I'd watch, like, The Price is Right or Bob Barker doing whatever... And they would give out a lifetime supply of turtle wax.
Yep.
And I always would laugh to myself at age 9 that they would just take turtle wax and smear it onto a playing card and go, that's enough.
Yeah, that's all you need.
You'll get 3 waxings out of this. You'll be fine. But how does one – but I was always like, they'd get a lifetime supply of Zebrick or turtle wax. I was like, how does one figure
quantify,
how does one figure out – how much a lifetime of bacon is.
And does it depend on the person?
Right. Like, would John Goodman get more bacon than a Hasidic Jew? What does it mean? How much is a lifetime worth of bacon?
So what we do is if you sign up now, we include bacon in every box we send you for the rest of your life.
So whenever you sign up, you
the
get bacon with it. The life of the subscription. Okay.
Right. Yep.
So it doesn't involve weighing you or a water displacement test or
going
discussion about your heritage.
Okay. Keeping track of your bacon intake for the previous
season. All right. This is bacon scrambled eggs with bacon in it or just bacon next to it?
Side of bacon.
Ugh.
Who doesn't eat this?
I can't imagine. But now this is 2 things.
I know.
This is scrambled eggs and bacon. Could we break this down to go, he'll eat the scrambled eggs but not the bacon? Or vice versa?
This is right down the middle.
We don't want to get into halves.
Fastball over the plate.
Here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no because it's 2 items.
Mm.
The scrambled eggs gives me pause, but we're only giving one answer per dish, right? Okay,
yeah, bacon
in that case, he's in. He would not say no to the bacon.
I think that there is a component here that we're
or
all...
Or the scrambled eggs.
Because I can only give one answer, I'm saying yes to both. Yes, he's eating both, yes. Okay.
I don't think there's any way he'd go near the texture of scrambled eggs.
Mm.
I think it'll freak him out. I'm going to say he will not eat it.
Mike?
I'm going to say he will. He likes corn dogs, so I think bacon is...
He'll eat it.
Okay.
2 no, 2 yes.
Scrambled eggs and bacon is probably the greatest breakfast food dish ever created.
Wow, nice.
Strong yes.
Bacon is overrated for sure, but the scrambled eggs are great.
Wow, I didn't see that coming.
Never see this one.
Bacon's overrated.
Still good.
All right.
It's just overrated.
One thing we all agree on.
0-1. Here we go. Mike and Brian are up. Here we go.
All right, second item. Will Brian eat spaghetti with meatballs?
Again, right down the middle.
Just a staple of any red-blooded anything.
Tessa eats this.
Gleefully. I love spaghetti and meatballs. God, do I love spaghetti and meatballs.
Give my arm for that right now.
But again, it's a couple of elements.
I'd give Gina's arm for this.
It's a couple of elements.
Yeah.
Again, I say no just because it's a sort of compound element. Brian?
Yeah, no.
No?
The meatballs are going to...
Yeah, texture. Texture. Yeah,
exactly.
I like the texture.
Yeah, I was going to say no, but I'd like to try and get in this game. Who doesn't eat spaghetti and meatballs? Pretty basic. I'll say yes.
Mike, how say you?
I'm going to say no.
All right, so three no's and one yes for Gina Grad trying to climb back into the game. Brian?
Never in a million years.
I
and this is coming from an Italian from Boston.
I knew it.
An Italian from Boston.
He wouldn't give it a chance. He wouldn't give it a chance.
Which part do you hate more, the spaghetti or the meatballs?
The sauce.
What?
I didn't see that coming.
I hate that marnar.
Marnar.
The marnar.
That's funny.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Now, what about spaghetti meatballs minus the sauce?
It's still no.
Inedible. No.
Is it the meatball texture?
No, the meatballs are fine. Sometimes I'll just go to a Ralph's and I'll just buy the meatballs and I'll put them in my oven.
And eat the meatballs.
Eat the meatballs.
So the spaghetti's the deal breaker?
Spaghetti and the sauce.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying minus the sauce.
Spaghetti's bad.
Okay, that's what I was getting at. Okay, good. We've all learned a valuable lesson.
Great.
All right. I don't even know what the score is, but here we go.
All right, next item. Will Brian eat a medium rare New York strip?
Ooh.
Mm.
It's one thing. It's simple. It's beef.
Medium rare.
A little rare, maybe, for him.
Again, New York strip right down the middle. That's your classic kind of steak.
God, this is so tough. So sad that this is tough, right?
Yeah, this should be a layup. This should be the next question.
I wonder about the medium rare
part.
That was the part that tripped me up, too.
That's
bumping me a little bit. I'm going to say yes, he will eat it.
All right. I will go no, the medium rare. If he eats steak, he wants it well done.
Yeah, agreed. There's no way he's going to eat it. It's too rare.
Mike?
I'm going to say yes. Hopefully it's grass-fed.
Two yeses and a no. And two no, sorry. The answer is...
Medium rare steak is the only way to eat steak.
It's like I don't know you anymore.
The range.
Only way, you know... You can't have a steak that's just gray.
You're right about that.
All the way through.
Says the guy who eats meatballs.
And you can't have a steak that's just bleeding all over the place. That's too much.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, he's all over the road.
Max Pata, what is the score at this point?
Mike is up one.
Oh,
Mike,
wow.
Mike is batting 1,000 right now.
He's 3 for 3.
Oh, really? 3 for 3, Mike. All right, let's see if we can run the table. I will declare Mike the winner if he can win this one.
Will Brian eat chicken pot pie?
Mike should guess first.
Mm-hmm. Chicken pot pie.
There's
boy,
a lot
do I
going
love,
on in there, man.
Boy, do I love chicken
there's
pot pie.
There's a lot going on.
White
there.
Gravy,
there's a lot
pastry,
going on. There's
chicken,
many
veggies.
Moving parts. So, Mike, I'm going to have to ask you, since you're the leader in the clubhouse, to go first.
All right.
Now,
chicken pot pie...
In our list, we know Vinnie Tortorich, and we know Butcher Box, and everything I do is now just all the meat and all the protein and all the everything. But, boy, if you could give me a magic wand and say you could eat something, no problemo, never put on an ounce, fish and chips and chicken pot pie would be
good.
Right
comfort
at the top
food.
Of my, oh, boy, do I want
hearty,
that.
Sweet,
boy, do
hearty,
I want
flaky.
That. Yeah, and also chicken pot pie is one of those things that you think is like, oh, this is just hearty Midwest Americana food. If you ever look at the calories on the back of that, like Stouffer's chicken pot pie, it is insane. It'd be like, or you could have 5 Big Macs. go ahead first, Mike. And Chris, Brian, what are we all trailing by? Gina's way out of the
I'm
game.
Screwed.
But me and Brian may be down by one.
Yeah, you and Brian are tied. You both got two right.
And
Gina's
I'm out.
All right. So go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to say no.
Damn it. That's
good answer. We would have went no. I think Brian and I are both going to go yes, just to see if we can get back into this game. Gina, why don't you give me a warm-up on the coffee, please? I don't see any reason.
You want me to top that off?
I wouldn't mind if you topped
it off.
I'll
freshen it up, sure.
Well, Brian, drink coffee.
I'll be right back.
Yeah, give it a little shot in the microwave,
yeah,
too.
Here I go.
Remember, 33 seconds. It's a time saver. Thanks, sweetie. Thanks, hon.
Insulting at all.
Thanks, hon.
Hon. She handed it to Dylan. Good move. Good move, Gina.
You gotta delegate.
33 seconds. Remember, time is of the essence.
You didn't have to punch him in the dick.
All right.
That was just
chicken pot pie. Oh, boy. I've been angry at Brian in the past, but I don't know if I've been disgusted.
Yeah, this is
going to... I'm now going to be disgusted.
There's a reckoning that's coming.
When he says he doesn't like this. Chicken pot pie.
Never in a million years.
Yeah,
it has everything in it that I hate.
Oh, it
barring
has
chicken.
Vegetable. Things
gravy.
That grow.
Oh, man.
That's
all right.
The most disgusting thing I've ever looked at.
We now have to do a tiebreaker. I
Are
do
you
believe.
For second place?
And,
sure.
And I will figure out a way to couch this. And Brian's going to have to be a little bit flexible on this as well. What is our next item?
All right, for second place, the next item is Will Brian.
Oh, wait, sorry. He said he wouldn't eat it. Sorry.
Yeah,
oh, sorry. I screwed that up. I screwed that up. Brian, Mike, I've declared you the winner.
All right.
Simply because you are the winner. Thank you for the coffee.
Oh, Adam, here's your coffee.
I have pictures.
Should be piping hot, ready for you.
It's my Phil the Cup that has pictures of my dog Phil on it, which I shared with all the boys this morning at my house.
Fill her up.
Much to their delight. Mike, you, boy, I'll tell you, you're in the wrong business. You drop this whole butcher box business and follow Brian around and guess what
predict
he eats.
Disease.
Yeah, you are in the wrong business. You're leaving money on the table. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, no, wait.
You're not leaving anything but your dignity on the table. All right, outro.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Do we have an outro?
Yeah,
now you know. Will Brian eat it?
Brian's pissed off at most food. He must have a mental disease.
All right, man. Get those uppity DVDs shipped out of there. Mike, congratulations. You won 4 for 4.
Wow.
No one.
The man knows food.
He's a culinary genius.
You rarely, pardon the pun, run the table with Brian and his eating habits because he's so all over the road. ButcherBox.com is where you go for all the good stuff. And it's just, it's a great idea. And boy, you want to talk about timely. People just tweet me pictures all day long about switching over to the protein-based diet and dropping all the pounds. It's incredible.
And if you're going to do that, go for the good stuff.
Go
for the grass
for the good stuff. That's right.
Go for the quality.
Come see us when you're in L.A., Mike.
Yeah, will do.
Our pleasure. ButcherBox.com and bacon for life, everybody.
That's right.
Remember that book series that took off the crazy trend, Body for Life? Remember that guy with the front, like, raising his fists in the air? That was a big, like, exercise health trend. Now we got bacon for life instead.
He's holding up a big strip, a side of pork belly.
Body for life.
There he is. All right, let me tell you about UFC Fight Pass. Be the first to see the future of UFC. Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series is back tomorrow night for a second season exclusively on UFC Fight Pass. Fighters can earn a UFC contract on the spot from Dana White himself every week. Best undiscovered talent and MMA will compete live only on Fight Pass. Just download the UFC Fight Pass app. Go to UFCFightPass.com. Watch it anywhere, anytime. And right now, for my fans, head to UFC.tv/Carolla to sign up and watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series for only $14.99. Dawson.
Just head to UFC.tv/Carolla for this special two-month offer. Until August 7th, you'll be able to watch Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series live every week. Don't wait. Go to UFC.tv/Carolla and lock in the special $14.99 price to watch the entire season of Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series and gain access to the largest on-demand fight library in the world exclusively on Fight Pass.
All right. Let's see. I got a clip. We got Miller's calling in. Well, when is he calling in? And then I'll, is it 15 minutes or is it half an hour?
About 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I got stuff to, I got stuff to talk about and stuff to talk about with him. And an interesting, did we find his tweet from, no. Who sent me, or somebody?
Are you thinking of James Woods?
I'm sorry. That. I thought it was Dennis, but it was James Woods. Yes, you're right. James Woods sent out a tweet that we'll save about Melania and covers. And then I saw her on a cover of a magazine, and I was surprised, but it was an interesting story. Anyway, I'll share that with you. First, I was listening to my friend. Now, I have said this, and I don't feel like enough people, I'm going to stop saying feel. I don't think it gets brought up enough when we're talking about race and race relations, which is anyone who is white, who is heterosexual, and who is a male knows that they have interactions with people all the time that seem, where the other person seems insanely unreasonable for no good reason. I have, like, walked into events and said to, like, the security guard, can I just slide through here? And then guys goes, go around. You have to go around. And there's, like, there's no line. But and here's the turnstile. And I'm like, can I just slide through the two barriers? No, you go around.
Doesn't make any sense. But
it was a black guy, by the way. I didn't think he was being racist. I walked 100 yards that way, turned around and walked 100 yards back. And then I went through the thing. I have 1 million stories of people being insanely unreasonable at airports, at it was dealing with security, dealing with lines, dealing with cops. I've had 3 motorcycles towed. I've been pulled off of my motorcycle.
At the same time?
And I've had them 3 separate times. I've had my motorcycle towed where the guy told me, get off the bike and walk home. And no, you may not park it on this side street where it's legal to park. I'm towing it. Like, just all neighbors that are clinically and criminally insane doing things to me. And, of course, I've never thought for a second it was racism because it was just the old fuck or the Armenian cunt who lived across the way. It was never, oh, it's because I'm white or because I'm gay or because I choose a different lifestyle than you or you hate women or you. That's all I would think if I was anything other than me, but all I have.
You only have this to go on.
My white privilege is knowing people are assholes and not racist. That's my white privilege. If I was black, I wouldn't have that privilege. Right. I think almost every neighbor I had was an unreasonable piece of shit who was just going nuts on me for no, and a wildly unreasonable request. Telling Maxipata to move his car from in front of her house and putting multiple notes out there and hiding in shrubbery to spring out at 10 o'clock. It's an insane request. It doesn't even mean anything. He wasn't blocking it. He's literally parking on a side street.
She obviously hates Asians.
She didn't know who he was, I don't think. She just knew he was associated with me.
That's bad enough.
Bad enough, right?
You're guilty. Yeah.
But she's a crazy white broad, and I'm a middle-aged white dude, and thus I can't do anything.
Nope, can't touch that.
All right, if you were black or I was black or whatever,
it'd be obvious.
There'd be no other conclusion, right? What people don't understand is people are just insane. Mm-hmm. And they do horrible things. And oftentimes, they're just rude or they're just whatever. There's a look no further than Alaskan Airlines and, you know, my bag and flying first class and checking my bag and walk and tell me to go back in security stuff. It would seem blatant if you were anything else. Oh. But I know the guy behind the counter is just a dick.
If the sandwich salmon salad guy was dealing with somebody who wasn't white, how offended would that person be? Just to give him a hard time for no reason.
Yeah, except for that guy was black. So, but yes, I've had this. These things
happen. Yeah, but still coming.
my entire life is one big long list of this shit. But I'm white, so I never strike it up as racism. I was listening to my friend Dennis Prager, and Prager.
Oh, he is black people.
He hates black people. He had a guy calling. Prager's thing is like, there's a difference between having a country with racists in it and living in a country that is racist. It's like saying It's like we have people who deal drugs, but we're not a narco state. Right. There are people who do this, but that's we're not a narco country. The examples can go on and on. Sure. There's always going to be this, but doesn't mean we have this. There's always going to be Nazis. There's always going to be Antifa. There's going to be everything. There's going to be flat earthers. But that doesn't mean that's the general consensus or who we are. There's a group of flat earthers. Fine. It drives Drew nuts. I don't know why. And there's a group that think that we took the trade centers down and there was never a Jew in the building. Oh my God. But that's not who we are. Right. That's Ed Asner and a couple of nut jobs.
There's a lot of evidence for
so
that.
I'm kind of saying that's my point. Not there's no racist. Right. It's not who we are.
Right.
He had a guy, and whenever he says that, black guys call into a show and go, oh, please, stop being so naive. Let me tell you what happens. I'm a black man. Let me tell you what happens to me. So he had a guy call in, and Prager made a point to him, which is, well, I'll let you play it. We'll start and stop it. Can I start and stop it, Max Spana?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But at a certain point, and I'll set it up, he said to the middle-aged black man, just please tell me something that's happened in the last week, you know, because he said, like, it's an everyday occurrence, you know, racism. He said, think in the last week, give me an example of racism toward you. This guy's probably a 55-year-old black guy. All right, go ahead and play the first part, which is sort of my point. Go ahead, Max Banner.
The United States has only one example of a pogrom, according to political scientists at liberal colleges. And it was the attack on Jews by blacks in Crown Heights, Brooklyn. How come I never raise that? I never raise it.
A pogrom is like an attack.
It's like a raid or massacre against one ethnicity, and it's associated with the Jews in Russia and in Europe the last century.
Thank you, Jewess.
Mm-hmm.
Now warm up my coffee,
bitch. One second. Be right back.
But I could.
I've heard of that before.
I could. I mean, I could say, well, look, you know, we Jews are really under attack, and especially by blacks, and this is an anti-Semitic country. We even had, organized beatings of Jews by blacks in Brooklyn. But I never, I'm only mentioning it now to point out what I don't mention, because it doesn't exemplify America. You can find anything you want in American history. Anything. It's a big country. So, Jeff, I just have to ask you, I mean, because this is...
So basically what he's saying is there was a pogrom. It was black guys going after Jews, but Prager doesn't bring it up as example, like, oh, it's anti-Semitic. We live in an anti-Semitic. That because it's bad math. It was a couple of bad actors on a bad day doing bad things to Jews. Much different than living in an anti-Semitic country.
Yeah. Shut that yiddy mouth.
All right.
It's a painful subject to me. On a daily basis, do you experience a racism?
It's slight ways, but I'm kind of like, I don't focus on it, but you do see it.
On a daily basis?
On
a more or less daily basis. On a weekly basis, I'm not trapping. I want to understand your experience. What do you see that I don't? Now, obviously, you're a black man. I'm not. So, obviously, you see things that I don't. I understand that. That's fine.
True.
So, right. Okay.
So
but
how can you take that position and say this country is not racist? You don't see. You're not.
Right. So, fine. So, tell me what happened in the last week that was racist. What happened to you that was racist? I'll give you a whole week.
Oh, boy, in the last week. Oh, yes. Okay, well, I went to...
Okay, so now this is him going, okay, I got one for you. Mm-hmm. And also, again, this thing where it's like, well, there's slight racism. You can see it, but sometimes you can't see it. It's like, again, just go through your normal day and deal with all the assholes who just go, I can't do that.
Right.
You know, like, no, you can't do this.
Sorry.
And you can't, you know, and whatever. And you just go, why? Just whatever, the unreasonable whatevers all the time. Like, imagine how much of just a dusting of racism you could weave into our everyday existence and our society. All right. But anyway, he did I got one. All right, let's hear what has got one. This is a middle-aged black man who says there's racism, dustings of it everywhere, but now I'm going to give you a concrete example of racism that I just, like, you brought this up, Glad you asked. Yeah. Here we go.
To a food store, and I don't know, for some reason, and went to the checkout.
All right, rewind it for about 15 seconds if you can. If you can, please.
All right, good.
All right.
Right, so I'm at, so fine. So tell me, what happened in the last week that was racist? What happened to you that was racist? I'll give you a whole week.
Oh boy, in the last week. Oh yes, yes. Okay. Well, I went to a food store, and I don't know, for some reason, and went to the checkout lane. I told the lady, well, miss, there's a large yellow sign straight down the aisle from your register, miss. It says that the Greek yogurt is $3 for $10. She insisted. Again, it was late at night. I'm coming near the airport with my work clothes on. Maybe I looked a little rough. I build engines, okay? So she's like, oh, just no way. I said, miss, obviously, you know, and now we're holding up the lane. She just couldn't believe that this yogurt was this price. So I called, we had to call a guy from behind another register. He had to go and confirm, yes, miss. I mean, so I'm like, well, miss, why? I'm telling you this, lady. It's about 11 o'clock at night. This is just yogurt. If I was now again, forgive me. This is, I gotta be honest. I'm in a pretty much a white suburb. I'm out in there over here in Chicago, and I'm the only black guy in the store, 11 o'clock. And I'm thinking, okay, she's thinking I'm going to try to, she think I'm trying to pull some perhaps. Again, I'm in work clothes now. I'm in the engineering room building engines here all day. And so I mean, maybe she's a little, her natural instinct was to object what I'm saying.
Okay. Three Greek yogurt for $10. The cashier didn't know that was a sale that was going on and wanted to confirm it. Has a version of that happened to all of us 10,000 times? Yeah. His example of racism is he was buying Greek yogurt and the cashier wasn't hip on the special they were running in the refrigerated section. If this is your example of racism, then yes, we live in a horribly racist country and you will never avoid it. My assertion would be, let's stop pitching that narrative, especially on these situations. Wait for actual cases,
right?
Not cashiers that aren't on board with specials.
You can see her being the same to anyone in that lane, in that aisle who came up and had the same situation.
The idea that he sees that as racism is sad for him.
Yeah.
And somewhat disingenuous, it's a little narcissistic, like, hey, brother, you don't think this happens to everyone all day, every day when they go in with their coupons and the person says they're expired, but they're not expired, or the person's not. Do you know how many times I tell Fondelier, call ahead to see if I can get into the captain's lounge. You can get in. You present this black card. You can get in with a guest at the
card,
American.
Black
You can get in with a guest or whatever, and then I pull into the American Airlines and I flap down the black card and they go, so? And I go, can I get in?
Beat
no,
it.
You cannot. Well, you can pay $59 for a half day pass. Like, do you know how often that happens to everyone all day, everywhere?
Right.
All right. No, you are not. Dennis Miller's online, too. Dennis?
Everybody's got their balsa wood cross to bear, Ace.
Yes, they
in this world.
Do. Just
you know, some people, there's a new phenomena in
Girl
America
in town?
Where everybody sees a trace of racism in everything. I call it tracism, and I don't think it's a good look for the culture.
I don't. It's not. I don't think it's good micro or macro. Meaning, my wife loves my kids, and I love that she loves my kids. And if I just sort of walked around and went, oh, she left her car parked out in the driveway, so when the kids get in it, it's going to be extra warm on their fannies. And, she left the refrigerator cracked, so the milk is going to spoil, so the kids are going to get the stomach flu.
I see what's going on.
Oh, like if I walked around looking for that, it would make me miserable. Mm-hmm. It would make her miserable. It would make the kids miserable.
And it's not true. She's not trying to hurt the kids.
She loves the kids, and occasionally the car gets parked down the driveway on a hot summer day.
Things can exist.
Yes.
You are a beautiful touchstone for me in that when I find myself reference-wise, in my head, out beyond the Pillars of Hercules, knee-deep in Etheria, and think, what the hell is that reference in my head? I've got to go get a shrink. I look at, and you're further out there with that.
Thank you, Dennis Miller.
The worst part is it minimizes actual cases of racism.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, in people's minds, when they hear about it, they're desensitized a little bit. It minimizes
it. Of course. With all things that are problems that we would like to actually focus on, whether it's a Me Too, Al Franken put his hand on my thigh, or it's this guy at the Quickie Mart was racist because of the Greek yogurt situation. Then we're all distracted and not looking at real racism and real sexual abuse and abuse of power.
Well, who was that guy talking about a bad experience? I got in late. Then who was that Rosa Parks experience?
I was listening to my one of my favorites, which is another Dennis. My second favorite Dennis, which is Dennis Prager.
Love the Prager.
You love Prager, and I was listening to his radio show a couple days back, and it was an exchange with a black man saying racism is everywhere, and that was his example of what happened to him just last week as a racist example. Dennis, by the way...
Well, it is everywhere if that's racism.
Well, it is true. The Dennis Miller Option is the name of the podcast. You can listen on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Dennis, I had a funny situation happened to me, just I was laughing on this show, and I'm teeing you up because I'm sure you have some thoughts. I was laughing on this show a few weeks ago about how Melania Trump is a model by trade and has not made the cover of any magazines since she got in as the first lady as a model, which is kind of insane, but I get it. Everyone hates her husband so much. They're not. She seems lovely, but they hate him. And so thus, she's not going to be on Vogue or Vanity Fair or any of that either. It's just ironic because she's a model. Right. So she's uniquely qualified to grace the cover of magazines. And I was at a supermarket last weekend,
and had some Greek yogurt,
and I got in a fist fight over 3-for-1 on Greek yogurt, and I was walking, waiting in line, and I glanced up and I looked at the magazine rack, as you know, that displayed next to the chewing gum and all the other stuff. Supermarkets are great. They're like, hey, before you leave, it's all candy and horrible magazines. Mm-hmm. It's like, before you leave, let's see if we can poison you and your brain. Here's a couple of rags that are going to make you very unhappy with your life, and have a handful of Reese's peanut butter cups. Like, I know you just went in to get a bushel of kale, but before you leave,
hit the impulse
aisle.
It's
weird. They also have like CDs and DVDs in those racks. Like, who's like, oh, that's what I needed. Oh, good thing I remembered.
The Best of the Oak Ridge Boys. I knew it. I should have written it down. So I looked up, and I saw a magazine with a big picture of Melania Trump on the cover. And I went, oh, I'm like, I don't read very well. Mm-hmm. So I just looked up and I went, well, I guess I was wrong. I guess she made the cover of a magazine finally after all these months. And it's In Touch magazine. And it says, Melania, why I won't leave. And then I realized, oh, she did make the cover, but it's a kind of a knee in the groin.
Yeah, not at her own volition.
Not the groin.
Listen, Ace, when you say they hate her husband, can I tell you, I've never seen things more polarized. I think they hate her, too. It's an odd thing. I think it goes a couple circles out where actively hate her. And, you know, I see people scolding Ivanka Trump for not eviscerating her father. Now, forget if she and he get along on everything.
Her father or her... Wait a minute. Her father or her... Or Trump?
Ivanka?
Oh, sorry, Ivanka. Oh, I'm on the Melania. Sorry, the Melania and the Ivanka thing screw me. I wish one of them was named Sally. It'd be so much easier for me.
Ivanka's mom is Ivana. Trying to get that
sorry. Yeah. Now we're really screwed.
Comes from. But
yes,
I
Ivanka.
See people demanding. People saying,
Kathy Griffin, I think, recently, they demand that she disengage from her father in the name of politics. And that always reminds me about the liberal side of things. It is everything. It is their family. It is their church. Can you imagine asking somebody to actively disown their father to some degree because you don't agree with all his politics?
Well,
it's
yeah.
unbelievable how hateful it's gotten now.
Yeah, it's sad. You know, God, I just had this super sad thought, but I think the only thing that can correct the course of the ship that we're on is another 9/11 type catastrophe.
We're going to have to edit this out, Chris. Not
crossing my fingers. But, and look, it may only buy us like one business week of
but we'll
not
come
going
together
at
for
it.
A brief period of time.
But it may be the only thing that just stops us from this, going down this.
Well, if you want to do numerology, Ace, it could be a 9/11. I agree with you that would be a bit of a stopgap, but you have to remember, like you said, a week later, there were people talking about World Trade Center 7 was brought down by Giuliani and Bush with a bad steel install. I mean, you know, really crazy stuff. Maybe you can't go to hate in the immediate wake of a disaster like that and watching people jump out of windows from the 101st floor. You can't go to active hate. You'll just look too unhinged. But they do go to disbelieving sort of hate within a week. But the other numbers that I would bring up is I think the only thing that auto-corrects this at some point is something historical, something that you don't even want to pronounce out loud so you don't end up on a LexisNexis search being the lunatic. But I think something like 1929-ish, quite frankly. And if it doesn't come to that, somewhere down the road, and I don't know what John Brown's raid will be, but it'll be an 18, you know, it'll be an 1860, whatever, when the war starts. It'll be Fort Sumter. Something's going to happen in this culture, but I don't see us walking ourselves back from this gradually right now. Now, of course, it would go away to a large degree if they impeach Trump, because many of the people who are most vocal, quite frankly, are on that side. But I don't think the people who usually take it on this side, the people who are audited by Lois Lerner and stuff like that, are going to take it as well next time through. So I agree with you. I don't see what's going to reset it, but all of the choices seem bad to me.
Do you, a side thought, something I've realized, all conspiracy theorists, or you find me examples that aren't. Now, I'm not talking about Sasquatch or Bigfoot or Loch Ness Monster, but the conspiracy, you know, the Kennedys and who shot Kennedy and the, you know,
government behind this.
Took down the World Trade Center. At their core, they hate this country, and then all these crackpot theories spring from that. They're never patriotic Americans who just believe that the World Trade Center was taken down by George Bush. They always have these other theories, but it at its core, it's I hate this country, and as I've talked to Ed Asner about this before, I figured it out because Ed Asner was saying to me about how the World Trade Center was taken down by the United States government and orchestrated, blah, blah, blah. And then at some point, he like paused and he went, we could have liberated those concentration camps faster, too. We knew about them and we didn't do anything for a couple of years or whatever. And I'm like, oh, you hate this country. Like, you may think the World Trade Centers were brought down by this administration or that administration, but at your core, you hate this country. Short, fat, bald guy makes millions acting in this country, and that's his takeaway. Dennis, how say you?
I say D.B. Cooper is stuck in Ed Asner's back hair.
Oh, I knew it! It's the forest you can't get out of.
No better note.
That's why they can't find him. They can't get a thicket, and they can't cut through. Listen, all I know is that you do see, Ace, in subtle or not so subtle ways, that there's probably 50 and maybe even more than 50% of this country now who define their love through hating the country. And it's a weird thing, but I guess, like I always say, I think the customer acquisition cost on social media is incrementally or exponentially lower to get people who hate you to follow you. There's a whole bunch of people out there who are working off a white hot fulcrum of hate
to the point where you say, well, wouldn't you find that deleterious to carry that degree of hate around with you each day? No, I don't think they do. I think it's their core generator. And I don't know what that comes from. Maybe you're a kid. Maybe you get bullied. Maybe you don't have an ideal situation. I don't know what. But I do know that it seems to me there are as many people, if I put something up on social media, the quickest people to get to it and hate it and thus hate me are people who hate me. Well, it's not like people show up quickly when they love you. They kind of take their time. Haters.
I'm trying to think about like if we did a sociological experiment and we just put up on YouTube 10 best motorcycle tricks versus 10 worst motorcycle accidents. Mm-hmm. I feel like the 10 worst motorcycle accidents would get many more clicks.
Quicker.
And maybe this is just an extension of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe just who we are.
Well, but it's also, which we've talked about on the show before, but it's also like virtue signaling. Like, of course, they're going to follow Dennis if they hate Dennis because they can be the first one to say, look at him. He's wrong. I'm right. So it's that, too. It's slacktivism.
Listen,
if anybody came on at the beginning of Wide World of Sports and said, today we've got cliff diving from Acapulco, and here's what you need to know. Nobody has ever gotten hurt in the history of cliff diving. Click collectively, everybody right. out. The only reason they clue in many parts of life, I'd say our prime motivator as human beings is love, but you've got to admit, right in 1A, riding right off its shoulder drafting is Schadenfreude. People are hanging around to see people that they dislike step in it, and that's why social media is so perfect for this time.
Well,
it's like an idling traffic cop behind a billboard just waiting for you to screw up, then they're in their rear view, and you are pulled over and written up, my friend.
I don't know if anyone would ever get to the cliff diving if at the beginning of Wide World of Sports you didn't see the guy on the ski jump go full Dick Van Dyke over the coffee table. That was your dinner salad. Yeah. That got you. That sale. Got you in.
But
they were smart enough, Ace, that they eventually shot a few of those where he terpsichorded around it. And they put a little twinkle noise in. Remember that? That was very smart. I think that must have been Carl Reiner or somebody, because he didn't trip always. And indeed, if you came in with cliff diving and said, here's the existential view on that. If you said, by the way, we're going to have cliff diving from Acapulco today, and everybody who's ever done it hits the cliffs and dies, that would get boring, too. So it's weird. The scattershot in between is where the juice is.
I agree, but the seagulls would be delighted. The Dennis Miller Option is the name of the podcast. Listen on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Thank you, my friend.
Ace, you run a tight shop, baby.
Thank you. I do run a tight shop.
Yeah.
All right.
The tightest.
Let's see. The tightest. Let me tell you about MedMen. Redefining the cannabis industry and empowering you to exercise the right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience, wide range of products with knowledgeable and approachable staff. They'll find what is best for you. Gina, what do you know?
Yeah, I was there recently, and you know, I have friends that have been smoking for a long time, and they still don't know the difference between, say, an indica and a sativa, which are very different. They will make you feel very different ways. And these are questions you are totally allowed and encouraged to ask when you get there. Everyone's super knowledgeable. It's state-of-the-art facility. It's no pressure, and it's a lot of cool stuff.
And they got themselves a big fat sale now through the end of the month, June 30th. Favorite brands like Bloom, Papa, and Barkley, and Triple J, 40% off. $10 off just for mentioning me. Great stuff. Great environment. Smart people. Check it out. They have 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and Vegas. You can visit MedMen.com, find the nearest store. That's MedMen.com. Dawson.
Plus, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about them on The Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order in addition to the 40% off select items. Check out MedMen today.
All right. Let's see. What else? Oh, a few things. So much to get into. I'd like to just skip ahead to a song called Stagger Lee, which we need the lyrics to. It's a song I've always liked, and I've always pictured myself playing the bass saxophone in this with my Kangol hat on backwards.
You want to do it now or you want to
play? Let's play it, yeah, as the only white man in an all-black band. Like if I'm looking for
this
the,
is the
night was clear and the moon was yellow.
Lloyd Price.
And I've always liked the song, and it's always swung. But you have to picture yourself wearing the Kangol hat.
I was standing on the corner.
Black backup singer.
When I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark.
It's a pretty grotesque song, y'all.
It was Staggerly and Billy. Two men who gamble. Staggerly threw seven. Billy swore that.
That's a problem with throwing dice on grass in dark parks.
Billy, I can't let you go with that. You've won all my money in my brand new Stetson hat.
Who won his hat?
Staggerly went home.
He got his 44.
He got his 44.
This would be me playing the sax, by the way. With an all-black band on stage. Now, here's the part where it gets a little sad. Don't take my life. I got three little children and a very sickly wife.
Oh my God.
He's got a sick wife and three kids. They shot him.
Shot Billy.
What?
Oh, he shot that poor boy so bad.
Shot him so bad.
Until the bullet came through Billy and it broke me far. Tender's glass.
Graphic. Look
at that.
Yeah. The bullet went right through. Well, all the guy wanted was a Stetson hat.
Premeditated. He had to go home and get his 44.
I never listened to the lyrics.
Billy would have given him whatever he wanted.
He's got three kids and a sickly wife.
Oh, God. He was just trying to make a little extra money to pay the bills.
Shot him. The bullet went right through him.
Staggerly. Oh, come on, Stagger.
He begged him for his life.
Busted the bar. And if I know bartenders of that era, he was wiping the glass. He's wiping the glass. I love the busy work. It's always great. It just shows you how sort of uncreative Hollywood is. Bartenders don't really talk. They stand there and act like bartenders. Mm-hmm. They can't just stand there, so they need busy work. Yeah. And the busy work is you pick up this white towel and you go at this
one
cooler. Yes, you go at this this schooner. Mm-hmm. You just go at it for the entire scene.
You know why? Because obviously if they're shooting that over and over again, you can't have ice. You can't have liquid. You can't. Yeah. It'll melt. It'll be all off. No, just wipe. Wipe forever.
Just a stein.
Still wiping, stand. Still wiping.
I know, but I would argue, like, well, walk out, walk back, or go shuffle some bottles around in the back or do something.
And rearrange the gin.
Just stand there and just wipe and wipe and wipe. And it's also unsatisfying because not only now I go to bars, they're never wiping glasses, and they don't want to hear about my problems.
No, they don't. Far they have other it. People to get to.
Bartenders wanted to hear about your problems while they were wiping glasses.
One for my baby. That's the whole song.
Yeah.
You know, tell me your problems.
And they pour your shot and slide it across the bar to you.
Don't do that anymore either.
Leave the bottle.
Yeah.
There would have to be a complex financial negotiation. If, like you said, give me two fingers of rye, and then they did it, and then the guy, and he went, leave the bottle. The guy would be like, what room are you at? What name is that under? What, could I have a credit card?
I got to measure that out because that's $8 a shot.
Yeah. We got the weird thing at the top that is hooked up to the cash register and the ATF, a home office that lets you know how many shots is poured. Like, no
and
more
it cuts
leaving
you off
the
after
bottle.
An ounce and a half.
You're right. No more leaving the bottle. All right. Let me tell you about the Black Tux wedding season. Oh, you're going to get invited to Buddy's wedding. TheBlackTux.com. Awesome suits and tuxedos. All kinds of styles. Just rent them online. I rented one for the Oscars. Not only that, but before I gave it back, we did our photo shoot here.
That's right. It was perfect.
Lynette and company are modding the website, and so we took I took pictures in that bad boy. Then I double fisted it, man. I dual purposed it. Then I sent it back free, home try on, see the fit and feel. quality of the suit months before the event. After ordering, your suit will arrive 14 days before the event. If anything is less than perfect, I'll send you a replacement right away. Pretty soon, you'll see the pictures and the new website's going to be up and running, and I think you guys are going to love
next
it,
week.
By the way, next week. Just send it back 3 days after the event. Shipping is free both ways. The Black Tux. Dawson.
To get 20% off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/Adam. That's theblacktux.com/Adam for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux. Premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
All right. We got news. We got some clips. I got some interesting stuff to get into. We got some Clinton clips, and I got some Clinton Letterman stuff to bring up to you. And, of course, the news after that. We'll take a quick break. Good sports. Be right back.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new week of hot sports talk here on Podcast One Sports. Welcome to Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Real quick reminder, big stuff's happening. Dave's of Thunder is back. Have you subscribed yet? Have you downloaded it? Commented all that? What are you doing with your life? Hit the bus, Sammy. Oh, I got it wrong, didn't I there, Blaster Gare? Listen, let's focus on the matter at hand, and that's Good Sports talk with Adam Carolla. What's the poop, Ace? How are you?
Doing well. Busy as per usual.
That's what I hear.
But good. I mean, it's such a weird balance between busy and bored. And I always like to err on the side of busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird task that we have in the show business realm, which is, I don't have a job, like, you know, per se. Like, you know, when you work for the post office, you just have a job. And that job is you punch in at the postal sorting center that's in Covina, and you punch in at 8 a.m., and then at noon you get a 40-minute break and for lunch, and then you punch out at 4:30. And there's never a Saturday you ever work. There's never a Sunday you ever work. And there's never a time when you're there before 8 a.m. or after 4:30 p.m. And now it's pretty well laid out. And you know this is going to go on for the next 100 years, if you'd like it to go on for the next 100 years. My business is, I don't know what the next month holds or the next year holds or exactly what the calendar is.
And it creates an agita for you?
I don't speak Jew, but
I think that's Italian.
It creates a... Yeah, you're probably right. But the Jews have co-opted it like Elvis did with the black man's music.
The Italians and Jews, I've said it before to you, you know, we are very similar groups, except Italians are Jews with better food. That's basically...
I look at them as Italians... I've always said they're like a better looking dumb Jews. That's the way I look at Italians.
I don't know about the better looking part, friend.
Well, not in this studio, but in general.
Thank you.
So here's what I'm saying. Now, for me, you go, well, what's on next month's calendar or what's on next year's calendar? And I'm going to err on the side of busy, not doing the thing where I go, you know, I just got back from New York because Baldwin and Company blew up the Carolla phone wanting me to come in and do Match Game, the celebrity Match Game.
Now, oh, that's where you were. Oh, how
that's
cool.
Where I was. Now, that's not on the calendar. Mm-hmm. So the problem is the calendar gets very well populated, and then Baldwin calls and goes, would you like to make a shitload of money for half a day's work that involves really nothing. The stuff I used to do for free, you know, mm-hmm. sit around, crack wise, screw around, get some free drinks and free food and go back home first class. Will you do that? And I go, yes, I will. Unfortunately, that was never on the calendar. Now it's getting shoehorned and now it's getting busy.
It's interesting that this comes up a few days after the whole Terrell Owens thing that he doesn't want to go to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, I'm with you. I'll get back to that. But yes, first of all, as Lover Boy, I think, first said, everybody's working for the weekend, except for us. And I think it's a weird irony, not sad necessarily, but as somebody I know you're like this, you were like this.
I hated that the man decided in my formative years that I had to know about chemistry and algebra and all this jazz that has no application in my grown-up life. But this is how I spent my youth, my formative years, my head there trying to forcibly inject nonsense into my head that I have no interest in. And I always thought the goal is get rich as early in life as you can and then just hang it up. And then just live the good life. But isn't it sad? If I'm hearing you right, the real lesson I've learned is you never retire, right? In doing this, because you're doing fun stuff anyway. Like, I mean, it really is not to rub it in the nose of somebody sitting in a cubicle in the accounting department right now listening. But we are really, and at least you have to say, I appreciate it, and I think you do too, Ace. We're cheating life. We get to sit around and crack wise. I sit around and talk about football for a living. Well, that ain't work. I hate when people complain about it, like the curmudgeons who vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who say, how dare T.O.? We held him out because we didn't like the way he talked to us in the locker room, so we made him wait. He paid his dues. Now he's in the Hall of Fame. What? He's not going to the Hall of Fame? How dare he? Hey, sports writers, you get to talk about sports for a living. Lighten up.
I literally, and I'll just use memory as memory serves, I went to do a show in Cleveland. Then I drove to Detroit and did a show in Detroit. And along the way, ate some good Hungarian food and stopped along the way at
that's your favorite
at Ford and talked to Ford about some projects coming up. Then went home the following weekend, flew to Indy to witness the Indy 500. By the way, doing a lap around the Indy 500 in a convertible pace car, over 300,000 people at the event.
Is that right?
Over.
Good for you. You know what? And I mean this sincerely. I remember 12, however many years ago, the first time, and Kimmel has since had so many experiences getting to be on Howard Stern and all that kind of stuff, and David Letterman and Howard Stern having a conversation about Jimmy Kimmel's show must be surreal for him. But I remember the first time at his show that Huey Lewis came in and played, and I'm not a Huey Lewis guy, but he's a nice fella, as you know, Ace. But, you know, the fact that Kimmel got to go up on stage and sing with Huey Lewis, this is the same for me. I'm happy you get to, I mean, what a thrill for you. What a thing. Oh. You get to drive at Indy 500, you?
The day
what a life.
The day before premiered Uppity, the Willie T. Ribbs documentary at a museum in Indy. That's the night before. The next day is Indy. The following weekend is Portland, two shows, sold out theater, filming my first stand-up special. The Sunday, upon arriving back from Portland, the Sunday morning, a car show, one of the biggest car shows in North America, with all 10 of my Newman cars displayed on the golf course. Going to that.
Holy hell, you have 10 Newman cars, by the way? I had no idea. I thought you had one.
All race cars, right. I mean, look, be careful what you ask for. It's busy, but what?
But if you retire, that's the lesson. People, when they retire, they die, you know? Yeah.
I guess, but also as an atheist, and in between, go to New York and do a match game with Baldwin. As an atheist, I feel like what you're leaving behind is a book, a car, a stand-up performance filmed, an appearance on Match Game. You know, I mean, that's what you're just leaving behind. It's just like a sort of video, audio, verbiage, text, ghost of yourself. The guy who works at the postal sorting place dies and he leaves behind the watch he got after he got to the 40-year mark at the postal sorting place. Gary, is this, look at me, is this our business here? Oh, good. Let me tell you about ButcherBox. Mm. High quality, healthy protein. You can trust 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken and heritage breed pork delivered right to your door and dried ice. I use this. We have it. I've done the chicken. I've done the beef. I've done the steak. I've done the ground beef. I've done the pork. I've done it all and done it right, and it is all so good. Huge difference between the taste of the animals raised in a pasture versus concentrated feedlots. And for June only, all new customers will receive free bacon for life.
Oh, my.
Free bacon for life, for everybody. Life. Plus, $10 off by going to butcherbox.com and using the discount code Adam. These guys are great. None of the nonsense. All the good high-grade protein, Vinny Tortorich tells you. Go to butcherbox.com and use the discount code Adam.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we'll wrap it up there. By the way, we've talked about it before. I still am on the fence. If for the rest of my life I could only eat swine or beef, I'm not positive, but it might very well be. I might go sow.
Bacon for life.
Bacon, pork loin, ribs, so on and so forth. All right, more to come in this great sports week on Podcast One Sports. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek. Good sports out. Good sports.